In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
One of my favorite Christmas traditions was that day at the end of the school year, right before Christmas break, when our teachers finally gave up all hope of trying to get us to learn anything and put on a movie. And so in that spirit, I have a short film clip for us this morning that I'd like us to take a look at. By way of setting it up for us just a little bit, the Griswold family is trying to throw an old-fashioned family Christmas. And they gather on their lawn to gaze upon their finally illuminated home, and some unexpected guests arrive. Let's take a look.
Eddie?
Oh, the house is gorgeous, Clark.
Betty?
I hope you didn't do this all on our account, Clark. Kids, come on out here and see what Uncle Clark's done to the house.
Betty?
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
Yeah, he's surprised?
Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
We have plenty of room. Plenty of towels. Plenty of everything.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now. Poor Clark is just trying to have his good old-fashioned family Christmas, and this unexpected, uninvited visitor shows up and ruins all his plans. Suddenly there are four more mouths to feed, there's a dog to house and care for, and there's a rusted-out RV parked in his driveway. This is not the Christmas that Clark Griswold was planning on. And I think that his reaction, this statement of, "If I had woken up with my head sewn to the carpet," is probably how many of us would have felt in this scenario. But this morning, Mary has an even more unexpected, an even more mysterious, and perhaps even more uninvited visitor come into her life. This angel shows up and says, "Hey, Mary, you're going to have a kid." Now, I want us to look a little bit more closely at this, so we're going to read this again really quickly. The angel was sent by God to a virgin whose name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Now, a slightly looser translation of the Greek might look like this: "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And if she had woken up with her head sewn to the carpet, she would not have been more surprised than she was right then. What we see throughout the biblical narrative is that time and time again, God is showing up in unexpected and mysterious ways. God shows up as a boiling pot and a torch before Abraham, as an unnamed man who wrestles with Jacob, as a burning bush before Moses, as that still small voice to Elijah on the mountaintop, as a baby born to a virgin and her fiancé. God shows up in these incredible, unexpected ways. And Mary knows these stories of those who have gone before her. She knows the story of Moses and Abraham. She knows that God is going to break in these mysterious ways, that we can't do anything to be fully prepared, but that God is going to come into our life. And even more than that, she knows that when God does, your life will change forever. Abraham got a new name when God broke into his life. Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life after wrestling with God. Moses left his flock and became the leader of his people. Elijah had to leave the mountain and go back to face his enemies. And Mary would have a child. She would have to raise this child, love this child, teach this child, all the while knowing that somehow this baby was going to save God's people. Mary knew that her life was about to change forever. Her plans of a wedding feast with Joseph and their families would have to be put on hold. She would have to travel to Bethlehem, eventually journey to Egypt, only years later to return to her homeland of Nazareth. Anything she imagined for her life was about to change. And yet, because she knows these stories, because she knows in her heart that this is how God breaks into our life, that when we experience God arriving, God has greater plans for us, because she knows that in her heart. Once Gabriel finishes explaining how all of this is going to take place, though she might have begun at a state of surprise and shock, she ends in a place of joy. Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. Mary ends in a place where she says, okay, I didn't expect this. I didn't plan for this. But I'm going to trust that God has got this under control. Let's go. Without hesitation, Mary says yes to this unexpected visitor that shows up in her life. Now, we are mere moments away from the completion of our Advent celebration, right? In just a few hours, we'll gather again together, we'll sing our songs, we'll light our candles, we'll welcome in the birth of this child, this unexpected and highly anticipated birth. It might be weird to think about this birth as being unexpected because we've been planning for it for the last 4 weeks, right? We know that this is how the story is supposed to end, that we go through this whole Advent journey so that there can be a birth. And yet, we can never fully expect or understand the power that this birth will have in our lives to move us from plan A to plan B or plan C. Plan double Z, however many plans it takes for God to change our lives. See, when Jesus showed up on the scene, you know, a few years down the line and started calling his disciples, they quickly realized that everything in their lives would change. Jesus taught them how to view the world differently, how to look at Scripture differently, how to think about power and authority differently, how to treat the poor and the outcast and the hungry differently. Jesus showed up and the world was changed forever. And so as we close this Advent season, as we come to the end of our journey and we get ready for this baby to be born, it's not just about preparing for that baby that was born 2,000 years ago. It's taking these last few hours to prepare our hearts for Jesus to be born in us again. For Jesus to come in unexpected and mysterious ways to break into our life and change our lives forever. Now, if you've ever had an experience like the Griswolds, where you've had these unexpected and perhaps uninvited guests show up at the last moment, you know that this sort of event can throw a complete crank in your chain, right? It can be an overwhelming and even an angering experience as you suddenly think about how everyone will have to move rooms, how people will have to share beds, how you'll have to go back to the grocery store and buy more food, you'll have to do more laundry. All of your plans are now up in the air. And we too would probably want to say, if we'd woken up with our heads sewn to the carpet, that would have been a preferable scenario to having to host just four more people in my house right now. And yet, ultimately, when any of us are faced with this opportunity, I think all of us would eventually default to the mode of Ellen, Clark's wife, who ended our clip this morning by saying, "We have plenty of room, plenty of towels, plenty of everything." By looking that unexpected and unanticipated visitor in the face, perhaps still with disbelief in your heart, but saying at least out loud, "We have plenty of room. Come and join us. Come and be a part of this adventure. We know that this is going to change our lives forever, but come and be a part." And so as we prepare for Christmas Eve this evening, as we do all the last-minute things that have to be done before that happens, how will we respond when God breaks into our life? Will we be a Clark, or will we be a Mary? "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." Because God is breaking into your life. Every moment of every day, God is finding those places to break into our lives and change us forever. That's the story that we are promised. And some of us might be able to look back on our life and say, "Yes, these are the moments when I know that God arrived in unexpected and mysterious ways and broke into our life." And others of us might be thinking right now, I don't know that that has happened to me yet. But let me say this, if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. And if you look back at the history of your life, I imagine you will see those places where God was in your life. If we look back and say, "Where did God arrive in unexpected and mysterious ways?" If we look back and say, "Where did I see the kindness of a stranger? Where did I see the comfort of a family member? Where did I see the trust of a friend? Where did I see the burning bush? Where did I wrestle with my faith? Where did I hear that still small voice on the mountaintop?" Because in all of these places, God breaks in. We can never be fully prepared for the ways that God will change our lives, but I assure you, God is working in each and every one of us. When we sing, when we praise, when we come to gather at the table together, when we come to remember the baby born in the manger together, when we see broken relationships mended, when we see faith restored in hospital rooms and in dining rooms and in war zones and in peace times, in all of these places in our lives where our darkest fears lie and our greatest hopes go on a journey, in all of these places, God breaks in. This is the joy and the hope of the Advent season, that in these last few hours as we prepare for the birth of Christ, we remember that as this child is born, the love of God shines into every corner of our lives. There is no part that God does not see and that God does not change for the better forever. And so, like Mary and all those who have gone before us, God will show up. It will definitely be unexpected. It might feel like it was uninvited, but God will show up. Whether it's that still small voice or that baby in a manger, God will show up. And when God does, we will never be the same. God loves each of you, and I do too.